What I want you to do for the next few moments is to just kind of, in the center of your mind, in the quietness of your mind, I want you to picture the nativity scene. You've seen it before. You've seen it on lawns this time of year. Maybe you've had it on Christmas cards. Maybe it's been prevalent on your Instagram or your Facebook feed. But we've all seen the images. All the characters are there in the nativity scene. They're all the same. Jesus in the manger are there. Joseph and Mary are there. The shepherds are there. The wise men are there. And even the animals are there. Again, every nativity scene, it's the same. It's always all those characters are there, but Jesus is always at the center. Jesus is always the main focus of the image and of that scene. Today I want to talk to you for a few minutes about what happens when he's not the center. What happens when Jesus is not the main focus of that picture not only on a card or in someone's yard or a painting. What happens when that image is not stamped on your heart? What happens when he's not the main focus? What happens when the light that's bright doesn't shine on him at the center? Can I tell you what happens? It happens to all of us. Something else will take the center of your life. Let's look at those characters there. Again, imagine it with me, all those elements that are there besides Jesus in the manger. Work with me a little bit. What happens if the animals are the center? And the animals represent all your stuff. Everything you do in life, all your activities, all your fun, all your getaways, all your pleasures, all your experiences, all your vacations. They become first. The first thing of life is all of my stuff represented by the animals. Not necessarily wrong, just can never be center. Can never be the main focus. We see in the image there, of course, the shepherds are there. Shepherds, we could say, represent your work. The shepherds came quite a ways away in the fields and the hills, and the angels spoke to them and told them exactly where to go. The shepherds were out watching their fields by night. They were working. What happens when we put our work first as the center of our lives? Stealing hours we can never get back, energy we can never get back, emotional connection to our families or loved ones we can never get back. All we do is work. We're just trying to get ahead. We're just trying to work. We're trying to advance. We put that before anything else. What happens if you're the wise men and we put the wise men at the center? The wise men, we know they brought gifts. We would say, and we could say, that the wise men represent all of our money, all of our possessions. What happens when we put money first, seeking money first? Giving or generosity might not be the first kingdom priority in a person's life like this. It's always about, I'm trying to get more. It's more for me. Not more necessarily to give, of course. It's more for me. If the wise men are number one in your life and the spotlight is on that, I'm magnifying money. And Jesus, he's there, but he's not the spotlight. My work, my money, it's all about me and what I'm trying to accomplish. How about this? Joseph and Mary are even there. Think with me. Joseph and Mary are even there. And Joseph and Mary represent our family. What happens if we put our family ahead and at the center and the focus and the spotlight of our life more than Jesus? It's all about our family. It's all about what we do. It's all about what we need to do. And we really we love Jesus, or we love church, or we love God, but he's just not always the center of our life. It's not meaning don't go on vacations. It's not meaning there's not schedules that change. It's not meaning birthday parties. or things like that, that might take place. But it's like the person's life that does this, it's always about, they'll say, and you'll find yourself maybe saying this, I love my family. I need to be there for my family, don't I? Absolutely. But not maybe all the time at the expense of being there, keeping Jesus at the center of your life. So your family, your work, your stuff, all of life stuff has got a tendency to wind up being the focus of our life. Again, the scene we depicted, the scene that we can see, the nativity, all that stuff is constantly around us, and we've got to make our decision to keep Jesus the center of our life. Listen, Jesus cannot be peripheral. He will not be just a peripheral component in your very busy life. Our life must be built keeping him, his word, his spirit first in our life. It doesn't mean there's never going to be, again, some things that get juggled and reshuffled. But again, your heart has got to come back. Lord, if I've placed anything above you, I'm asking you to forgive me. And as I wind up a year, coming into a new year, would you reorder my life and the structure of my life to keep Jesus the very first place in my life? Can you give a preacher an amen there? Amen. Again, these things aren't wrong. These things just don't need to be first, not the most important thing. And so if you're going to be what I would call a successful Christian, if your Christianity is going to mean something to you, if your Christianity is going to be powerful in your life, Jesus has to be first. We don't add Jesus to a very busy life. He has to become our life. And everything else around our life revolves around him. I was having a discussion this past week when I was with my 9-year-old granddaughter, and we were just talking about the sun, and we were just, you know, the moon had actually come out, and then it got me thinking about talking to the sun, so I used it as an opportunity to talk to her just about, not that I'm a astrophysicist or know anything a lot about the sun, but here's one thing crazy in our culture that we've all grown up saying is that the sun is rising in the east and it's setting in the west. Can I tell you, that is so erroneous. The sun does not move. Some of you are going, I see some of you flat earthers out there. Come on. That's okay. We still love you. The sun does not move. The earth is rotating once a day, 24 hours, and it is slowly moving every year around the sun. Further away now, since we're cooler, closer when we get hotter. Come on, y'all been to school, right? Come on, help me out. Y'all been to school, right? Yeah, yeah. The sun doesn't move. The sun, Jesus, doesn't move. Our life revolves around him. His life does not revolve around us. Yeah. So he alone deserves our attention. He alone deserves our focus. He alone must be center of our life. In the book of Revelation, the Apostle John is hearing what Jesus said about a church at Ephesus, and he said, listen, you guys done a lot of great things, only one problem. You left your first love. You left your first love. You got a lot of great things going on, man. You stood against the power of darkness and Satan, and man, you're teaching the word, you're coming against false teachers, but you've left your first love. So we have to keep God, Jesus, the first of our life. Can I get a good amen, everybody? There's two questions you need to answer. Let's talk about it today. Just two questions that you need to answer concerning what we've just spoken about. Let me read you two verses and make some comments. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus comes to the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asks his disciples, look what he says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He tells them, I am the Son of Man, but who do everybody you talk to, who do they say that I am? And so they replied and said, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah, or you're one of the prophets. But then Jesus says to them in verse 15, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter, you know what he says? You are the Christ. Come on, say it with me, will you? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus went on to say, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. He said, you picked this up not by book knowledge or by what somebody else said. God revealed to you who I really am. Thank God for revelation. Amen, everybody? Come on, thank God for revelation. I can know something my brain doesn't even tell me. I can pick something up on the inside that passes my mind. Peter was messed up with his mind lots of times, but he just tapped into some revelation knowledge. Come on, thank God. Come on, thank God. Come on, there's help for me. There's hope for you. Amen, everybody? I can bypass that. So he said, who do men say that I am? Well, Jeremiah, Elijah, one of the prophets. Well, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Then the second question, we read when Jesus is before Pilate. And the religious leaders had brought him right before his crucifixion. And the crowd was chanting, release Barabbas, release Barabbas. And then Pilate asked this question in Matthew chapter 27. Look on the screen. What shall I do then with Jesus who is called the Messiah? What do you want me to do with Jesus then? Two questions. Listen, if you missed it, you got to answer this Christmas season. Number one, who is Jesus? Who's Jesus to you? Who's Jesus who the world celebrates? The world doesn't maybe even know. Of course, most of them don't. They see a baby in a manger, but they don't recognize that he's God in the flesh coming to die 33 years later or so. Who is he to you? You got to answer that question. Is he Savior? Is he Deliverer? Is he a King of Kings? Is he the Lord of Lords? Is he your forgiver? Is he your baptizer? Is he your provider? Is he your shepherd? Is he your righteousness? Is he your sanctifier? Is he your forgiver? Is he your deliverer? Come on, you got to answer that question for yourself, because he is all that the scripture says he is. But he will never be that to you until you answer the question of who he is to you personally. You make him as the center of your life. You are my Savior. You are my baptizer. You are my sanctifier. You are my holiness. You are my purifier. Come on, everybody. Make it personal. And secondly, what do I do now with Jesus? If that is who you are, that the scriptures say, and I say I'm a follower of who you are, and I've made you the center of my life, the focus of my life, the direction of my life, the purpose of my life. Now I must answer this question that Pilate asked. What do I do now with Jesus? What do I do now with my life? What do I do now because of him? What do I do now because he came? What do I do now in watching his selflessness? What do I do now watching how he forgives a woman caught in adultery? What do I do now when the religious leaders, when I'm persecuted? What do I do now with Jesus? How you answer these questions is going to determine your eternal destiny, and how you answer these questions is really going to determine the effectiveness of your life as a believer on the earth. Charles Spurgeon said this, look on the screen. Christ is the great central fact in world's history. To him, everything looks forward or backward. All the lines of history converge upon him. Come on, the AD and the BC began with him. All the lines of history converge on this moment and this person called Jesus Christ. Let's look at some scripture. Colossians 1, 17. He is before, come on, read it with me. Would you do it? He is before all things. Stop right there. Is he that way for you? Yes. Is he before all things? Yes. Is he before everything? Yes. He is before all things. Come on, keep reading. And in him, all things consist. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Jesus Christ will be and is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Is he that way for you? Does he have preeminence? Does he have the first place? Does he have the spotlight? Or is the spotlight right now on your family? Is the spotlight right now on your money? Is the spotlight right now on your career? Is the spotlight right now on all your pleasure and all your stuff? He's before all things. He's the head of the body, the scripture says. He's the beginning. He's the central figure of all humanity. The writer of Hebrews says this in Hebrews 1. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down at the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. This shows that the Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave him is greater than their names. Jesus is the exact representation, the express image of who God the Father is and was. He will never be anything less than 100% God and 100% man. Listen to me. He is the reflection, if you would. And that's even a terrible thing to say because Jesus isn't reflecting the Father. I mean, he is, so we could understand it. But he is the same in essence, in word, in nature, in spirit as God the Father was and is. Listen to me. Listen to me. He is worthy of your devotion. He is worthy of your attention. He is worthy of your adoration. This one who came, who showed who he was, who revealed the Father's love to mankind. Jesus Christ, again, is the exact picture of who God the Father is. Man, the very character of God we see in the character of Jesus. And Jesus is sustaining all things, by the word of his power, one translation says. As the planets were put in place, as the earth was made, as everything had been created in the Genesis creation, it still is today. He is sustaining, enabling it by the word of his power. And the same word of his power that did that is available and working in your life as well. Can somebody say amen? If you can look at the moon at night and the sun at day, listen to me, you know the word of God's still working. Come on, everybody. You can know it. He spoke that into being. He spoke us into being. Come on, we've been created in the image and the likeness of God. The scripture tells us to have dominion. Come on, everybody. Come on, over the fish of the sea, the fowls of the air, and all them creeping things. Come on. He told us, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. Come on, come on, have dominion over. This is the word of God, the command of God that was working from the beginning, that's now working in the children of God, the sons and daughters of God, that you've been given authority over every darkness, over demonic opposition, over every fear, over every negative consequence that comes to you. Because of this event, Jesus came in a body. Jesus and his word are the same. Come on, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Come on, he is God. He is the Word made flesh. We can trust him. We can have confidence in him, regardless of what's going on in our life, as long as we keep him center. As long as we keep him center. And I don't know about you, but there's times in our life, and it's like just life winds up causing tornadoes in your life. What life causes you to kind of get off the ocean, like we said before a couple weeks ago, and you got sea legs, and you're trying to find your land legs again. You got the negative report. You got a little chaos going on in the marriage. You got a little something happening in your health, and before we know it, we're magnifying other things and the word of other people and the world and what's happening in the world or our economy or whoever's in the White House or whoever's in Sacramento to take ascendancy of whoever should be the Lord of our life, who is Jesus. So we need to come back and we need to say, your name is greater than all their names. Your the command of your power is greater than any command of darkness trying to talk to me tonight. I put my head down, the scripture says, and I will lie in sleep, because the Lord is the Lord who sustains me. And I'll wake up in praise and celebration because of his faithfulness and his love. Come on, they're new every morning. Come on, everybody. Great is his faithfulness. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to go through 2025 carrying the same things and the yokes like we talked about at the first of this session, the yoke from Isaiah 9. We don't have to be yoked and have a rod beating us and have a staff leading us down a path that we're not supposed to go. Because the anointing of God, the very anointed one, Jesus Christ the Messiah, has broken the yoke and the staff and the rod off of our life. Listen to me, the one we celebrate in just a few days, born in a manger, grew, as Brittany said earlier, and he took his rightful place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and showed us what it means to live on this earth, facing opposition, facing demonic spirits and forces, and he stands speaking and declaring the word of God in the face of Satan or Lucifer, whom he created. There are things that are going to come in your life that you didn't pray for, you didn't ask for, you didn't wish, or you didn't want. But God will give you the power and the authority to overcome everything that comes against you. Listen to me. That's the word of the Lord. That is the word of the Lord. That belongs to you. But you're going to have to stand in that. You're going to have to fight in it. You got to be like Shammah, one of David's mighty men that stood in his harvest in his bean patch and his hand held steady to his sword, and he drove off all those Philistines. Come on, this is a year that you're going to have to realize what belongs to you because of Jesus and drive off all the negative influences in your life. Come on, keep Jesus center. Come on, keep him center. Sun radiates God's own glory. Come on, if it's getting dark, if it's getting a little fearful, get close to Jesus. Read the Gospels. Read the Gospels. If you're struggling hearing, if you're struggling seeing him, read who Jesus is in red letters. Your heart's going to come alive because Jesus always answers someone who comes and seeks him by seeking the word of God. He always will. He comes in response to that. In John 3, verse 31, John the Baptist said this about his cousin Jesus. He said, he has come from above and is greater than anyone else. We are of the earth and we speak of earthly things, but he has come from heaven and is greater than anyone else. This is John the Baptist's account of why he came. And this is John the Baptist's account of where he came from. He came from heaven. So he says he came from heaven, but notice he's speaking not things of the earth. He's speaking things from heaven. He's greater than anyone else. Is Jesus greater than anyone else? Listen to me. Really? Really? So if he's greater than anyone else, you've got him on your number one speed dial, so to speak. He's greater than anyone else. So whenever you come up against something, the first thing you say is, what's Jesus say about this? What's the word of God say about this? When the negative report is like, what do I do? Who do I call? Nothing wrong with this, but hear me out. I need to call my husband. I need to call my wife. Listen, don't make me mess with you a little bit. You might be putting your family, your husband, or your wife above God. Should you? Absolutely. What do you do first? I'm going to call on the name of the Lord myself. And I'm going to call on the name of my wife, Kimberly, second. And I'm going to call on some good friends, third. And then I might need to call the doctor, fourth. I might need to call a lawyer, fifth. I mean, come on, everybody. I might need to call the banker, sixth. but I'm going to call the name of the Lord first. Come on, keep them center. That's all we're saying. Keep them center. Keep them first. Keep them first. John said, he's speaking some things we've never heard. John the Baptist, remember, was there, baptized Jesus, and he came up out of the water. Remember, the scripture says the heavens were opened. And then a voice from heaven spoke. God the Father spoke. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. No miracle yet. Didn't preach his first sermon yet. Didn't heal a body yet. Yet the Father pronounces his love on his Son. Listen to me. God loves you whether you've done anything for him or not. God's love is constant in your good days and in your tragic days. God's love is the same whether you're on the mountaintop or you're in the valley low. Come on, everybody. His love is going to track you down, chase you down. Listen to me. You are his beloved. Can you say amen, everybody? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen, Jesus Christ stands alone before all humanity as the first, as the last, as the beginning, as the end, as the Alpha, as the Omega, as the one who is, who was, and who is coming again. Come on, keep him first. Just keep him first. Oswald Sanders, who maybe you never heard of him before, but a great minister and a great author, he led a group called the Overseas Missionary Fellowship. He said this, Jesus was unique among men in that his birth did not mark his origin, but only his appearance as a man on the stage of time. Of no other person would it be possible to distinguish his birth and his origin. He always was. It's tough to imagine and try to grasp, but he always was. And he's in eternity. That means he knows everything that's happened in the past. He knows everything in your life that's happening in the future. And so I'm going to rest that he knows my future. Now, I'm not going to put my family above him. I'm not going to put my career above him. I'm not going to put my pleasure above him. I'm not going to put my ambition above him. Because it will take me down a path away from the one who knows what's coming in my next decade. In my next year. And I'll get out there and I'll wonder, how come it's not working? How come the 5-year plan, like the guys told me about, aren't working? Because I put something else as the center. Someone said this, Jesus was the meeting place of eternity and time, the blending of deity and humanity, the junction of heaven and earth. What are we saying again? Jesus just needs to be the center of your life for your life to have eternal significance. No one or no thing, no entity can take that place. Over in the book of Exodus, we see this over and over and over. The nation of Israel, God told them what to do and they didn't get it right. He said this in Exodus 20, I am the Lord your God. I brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Could it be that my family could be a god to me? Could it be that my money could be a god to me? Could it be that my pleasure could be a god to me? Could it be that all my stuff could be a god to me? Absolutely true. God, you brought me out of bondage, and now you prospered me, you blessed me. I prayed for a spouse, I got a spouse. I prayed for kids, I got kids. I prayed for a job and increase, I got a job. I prayed for, give me a little bit more, and I got a little bit more money. But then if I'm not careful, I'll start looking to that instead of keeping him center and looking to him. Does God want you to have a great family? Absolutely. Does God want you to have a great job? Absolutely. God wants you to have money in your pocket? Absolutely. Make more money, honey. Come on. Does God want you to have stuff that you enjoy in vacations? Absolutely. We're talking about the spotlight. The spotlight. So what, come on, let's just wind down. What does keeping Jesus at the center of your life look like? What's it look like? Let me just give you 3 words in closing today. We give him our admiration. We give him our admiration. Our admiration. That means that we respect him, we esteem him, and we honor him. We read, as you read the Gospels, as you read the Old Testament, what he did time and time again, getting the people out of the mess they were in. Surely, it should be worthy of your admiration of a God who keeps rescuing his people. Surely, it would be worthy of our admiration, our respect and honor and esteem him above all others concerning who he is and what he is and what he's done. As I read the word, I don't know what you do, but as I read the word, I go, I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like him. I want to say what he said, how he said it, in the way he said it. I want to respond the way he responded in different scenarios. I look at situations when I read the gospel, specifically talking about Jesus. I want to love the way he loved. Would I be there with the woman caught in adultery? Would I be the one? No, let's gather some stones. Let's take care of her. Would that be me? Or would my heart be merciful and respond the way that he did? What I want to be patient. I want to be kind when the disciples, time and time again, and he tells them lots of times, like, oh, you a little faith. but he reaches down and he picks up Peter. Or would I say, you know, you probably just need a lesson, Pete. Just float for a while, you know, kind of work it out. Or would I be quick to grab somebody who's sinking? I want to be like Jesus. I admire what Jesus did and who he is. Someone said this: we need to admire his divinity as God, the sacrifice of becoming fully human, his humility as a man, his holiness and his purity, his sinless, perfect life. It's worthy of our admiration. Secondly, we need to give him our attention. We need to give him our attention. As you wind down this year, as you come into 2025, I'm asking you to look at him and admire him. Look what the Word of God says. And secondly, give him more of your attention. We've read this scripture multiple times. Leo, come help me, brother. I need some keyboards up here. Okay, I've got to set the mood. You know what I'm saying? Come on, everybody. You set the mood. Psalm 5, it says this. We've read this many, many times. I can't get away from the scripture. At each and every sunrise, you'll hear my voice as I prepare my sacrifice of prayer to you. Every morning, I lay out the pieces of my life on the altar and wait for your fire to fall on my heart. I give you my attention. I do not want you to have the leftovers of my life. I give you my attention. I've said this story many, many times. There's a pastor from Phoenix. His name's Tommy Barnett. Built a great, great church. His son pastors the church now in Phoenix. And his other son, Matthew, runs the LA Dream Center. Phenomenal family. Did multiple impacts of just legacy for decade after decade. I was in a meeting one time, and after he said this phrase, I kind of just checked out because my mind was kind of like blown thinking about this, how opposite I am of what the brother just shared. As an aged man, I was probably 35 years old at the time, and he was probably in his 60s, or maybe he's 20 years older than me now. I think he's about 85. And he said this, you know, and he smiles, and he just kind of talks, kind of, if you've ever heard him, he's phenomenal. And he just, not like this great, huge, like, in-your-face preacher, but he just says, you know, I've come to realize that if I need God in my life, I'm really going to have to seek him when I really need him. And there's going to be times in my life that I need him more. And he said, I had an event that was coming in my life, and we had this huge thing going on with the church, and it was weighing on me, and we were going to see some really powerful people in the city the next day. And so he said, you know what I did? He said, I set my clock for 2 hours earlier than I normally get up to pray. It would normally be an hour that I would pray, but I decided that I need to pray probably 3 hours for this meeting. So I got alone with God and spent that extra time, and I was encouraged. I was confident when we went in the meeting that God had heard me. And sure enough, God showed up and we had supernatural favor. When I heard that, as a young guy, I'm thinking, if I've got an important meeting with some people, what I'm probably going to do, yeah, I'm going to pray and I'm going to prepare, but I'm probably going to sleep in so I'm ready. Probably a couple more hours would do me good. Be well rested, mind to be refreshed. This age general in the faith said, no, I'm going to get up early. I'm going to give him more attention because I need to see the favor of God and the power of God come to bear for our church in this next season. How about coming into 2025, you give Jesus more of your attention. More of your attention. I love this Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I've desired, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. One thing I've desired, that I'll seek. So many times I've said I've desired, really desired, but I just haven't done the seeking. Given attention. Look, given attention means my desire intersects with my seeking. I say I'm going to keep you center, so I'm going to fight and seek you to keep you center. I just want to be with you and behold, David said, the beauty of you, Lord, just to be with you. I mean, can you imagine just being disciples with Jesus? And he wants us to wait on him every day, just be with him, and give him our attention. Lastly, we want to admire him, we want to give our attention. We just want to give him our adoration. We've been singing about it all morning. This involves worship, this involves devotion. I can't get away from a word probably the last 4 or 5 months. It's just devote, devote. How devoted am I really? Devote. I mean, like, you know, people doing different things and sporting teams and paint their faces and lighting candles and chanting and got the dances and, you know, crazy football games now that we'll see on TV and these guys take off their shirts and paint their bellies and they're devoted, man. They're all in. Come on, they go out and they start cooking. They start cooking, you know, at 8 o'clock in the morning for a 5 o'clock game. They're devoted to it. Are you devoted? How devoted is your heart? How's your adoration? Adoration means deep love, deep respect. Just deep love, deep respect. That you're my life. Listen to me. Our life is going to move around the orbit of our heart. Whatever is center there, your life is going to find moving around it. Whatever it is. Family, money, job, career, stuff. Whatever's center, whatever is the sun, so to speak, God wants to be the number one person in your life. Adoring means that he's got my entire life. He's got my everything I have. We sing a song, oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Listen, my prayer for you as we close out this Christmas series is that you keep Jesus the center of your life. Picture the nativity scene. Everything's there, but he's got to be center. He can't be peripheral. I'm not saying he's not in your life. He's not in the picture. He's just not maybe center. The angel told Joseph, Mary, she is going to give birth to a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save people from their sins. This is who he is. This is why he's worthy. This is why he is Lord of our lives. Can you say amen? Come on, can you stand up, everybody in the room? All over the room. Come on, stand up, bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, it's been an amazing day this morning. We've heard you. We've been part of what's going on. We've sung to you. The candles representing Jesus and the hope and the light of the world. You came to bring us light. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that we would keep the Lord and the Savior the center of our life. Help us remember this nativity scene, not just this time of year, but all year long, that we would keep the most important thing at the very center and focus of our life. If there's things in our life that don't need to be there, maybe not sinful things, but weights and things that are taking us off course, Father, would you bring divine alignment into our life? Would you help us bring the right attention and focus to you? Would you stir up, even as we draw near to you and seek you, Father, these next several days, even in fasting and prayer in January, would you renew devotion and delight in us, that we would delight in the law, the word of God, delight in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for some in the room and listening online, would you renew a right spirit within us, that we've let something in our heart and our soul take the place of Jesus. Nothing else can satisfy, but only you. Come on, right there while your head's bowed, your eyes closed. Come on, no one looking around. Is he the center of your life? Or has something else taken its place? Who do men say that I am, the Son of Man? Jesus asked. Who do you say that I am? What then are you going to do with Jesus? What priority will he have? Will you let the Word of God speak to you and be your guide? And what it says to do, you'll do. No other voice, no other Lord, no other Savior, no other idol besides you. So today, all over the room, Father, we just recalibrate our heart with the power and the very love of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your goodness, your power in our life, your salvation. Jesus saves. Emmanuel, God, you're now with us. We're never alone. We're never alone. We're never alone. God, you're always with us. Come on, in Jesus' name. Come on, all God's people said amen. Come on, amen, 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 amen. Come on, amen. Come on, that's a Merry Christmas, amen. That's a Merry, Merry Christmas. We're gonna have our prayer partners up here this morning and praying for you. If you don't know Jesus, listen to me. If you can't answer that question, who is Jesus to you? And you say, I don't really know. How about you let one of our prayer partners pray with you and introduce you?